WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning, it's the 4th of September, 2019. Sorry I wasn't on last week, but as the aforementioned week, I'm going to go with a double Western. This one's episode 39 of Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr. Titled Indian Scout, with an original air date of the 21st of October, 1956. My name is Arthur, and this is The Grand Hour.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Hear anything now, Gorse?
A lot of little sounds, but not the moaning. Might be he's dead, Captain.
Might be. This is where his horse came out, this clearing. He shouldn't be much further in, dead or not.
You a hand to see in the dark, are you?
Not much, no.
I can always light this lantern, you know.
You want to be seen, do you?
Well, if he's dead, he won't see no lantern.
If he isn't?
I still can't see in the...
How's your hearing in the dark?
I heard that all right.
Just ahead, Gorse. You can light your lantern now. Hold it closer. Toward his face.
He looks kind of young, Captain. Kind of wild, too.
He's full of pain and scared. Do you speak the tongue of white man?
I speak.
Our camp is back by the river. We'll carry you there.
You kill?
No. Got a canteen, Gorse?
Yes, Captain.
Give him a drink.
You'll mind the lantern?
I'll mind it.
Can you lift your head up to it?
Oh, no, no drink.
What's the matter with you? You shot up for fair. You must be burning inside.
You drink some of it, Gorse.
Oh, yeah. You see, Injun, good water. Now you drink.
No drink.
Looks like his right leg, Gorse. A couple nicks across his belly.
What kind of show I got to put on to make him drink?
Well, drink some more.
Captain, I swilled down 3 cups of coffee before he come riding through the camp. I got no...
Another sense. Swallow or two. Now, go ahead.
Well. Now then, Injun, you got to make up your mind. Either it's good water or I got a taste for drinking poison. Now, which will it be?
Other man, you drink.
I'm not thirsty. You need a drink, take it. If you don't, leave it be.
Give drink.
You born contrary, or you just come along that way?
Good water. Good.
Didn't I tell you?
What's your name?
Charlie.
Charlie?
Fine. Charlie, you got one good leg. We'll help you up on it, Gorse.
What kind of Indian name is Charlie?
Good American name, Charlie.
You can't argue that with him, Gorse.
Charlie?
Come on. We can make camp from here.
He's sleeping, Captain.
He's bound to. He lost a lot of blood.
Did you watch him eat? You'll get him back his strength in no time.
Did he do any talking?
Mostly he ate and smiled. Kept asking everyone to call him Charlie.
Good American name, Charlie.
What do you think about him, Captain?
Well, there's not much to think about him, Mr. Syberts. Takes pain well. He smiles. He eats a lot.
I mean, the way he rode right up to our camp alone. Rode right past the pickets without any fear at all, apparently.
And got shot for his trouble.
Yes, wouldn't you think he'd expect that, Captain?
I'd expect it. You would. Maybe Charlie's different.
Tinkham and Prebost, they both swear he made no move to fire back, just rode like the devil for the woods.
You redoubled the pickets, Mr. Syberts?
Yes, sir, I did. I guess you think maybe Charlie wasn't alone?
I told you, there's not much to think about Charlie right now. If he wanted more than food and a good drink of water, he hasn't said. I can't take the chance he's alone.
The tourniquet stopped the bleeding.
Then maybe we'll know more about Charlie tomorrow.
You gonna cut the bullet out tomorrow, Captain?
I'm gonna cut at least three of them out.
Three, Captain? But Tinkham and Prebost said
that... Charlie was wounded before he got here, Mr. Syberts.
You come ask question, Captain?
How do you feel this morning, Charlie?
Charlie, feel fine. Leg feel bad.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. All right, if I look at it?
You look.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, do you drink whiskey?
Whiskey?
Know what it is?
Like water?
Like fire water.
Whiskey like fire water?
Just like it. You drink fire water?
Burn. From mouth all down to belly. Make cough, make sick, make bad head.
That's it.
I like.
You got three, maybe four bullets in that leg. If I don't cut them out, you'll die, Charlie. If I do, it'll hurt. Bad. You want whiskey for the hurt, you can have it.
Leg very bad.
Yeah, it is.
Here's the water you asked for, Captain. Brought it right from the fire.
Thanks, Gorse.
You gonna bind him fast, or you want me to hold him?
And that's up to Charlie.
You'll bring whiskey.
Now, where am I gonna get whiskey?
Leg very bad.
Over there, Gorse, in my bedroll.
Yes, sir. I suppose I gotta take a couple of gulps before you figure it's safe to drink, ain't you?
You got bad leg?
Only bad thing I got's my temper.
Give Charlie whiskey. Charlie take for pain.
One thing, he ain't no dumb, ain't you?
Go on, Charlie, drink it down. Let me know when the leg doesn't hurt anymore. Oh.
White Captain, good friend, bring Charlie whiskey.
Mark the day, Charlie. It's the last whiskey you'll get from this white man. I'll need more boiling water, Gorse.
Mess Sergeant's got another pot going.
Ooh, very good to have leg very bad.
Never mind the talk, just drink.
You sure ain't gonna need no setting on, Captain. Lapping it down at that rate, he'll be helpless inside of 5 minutes.
I'm counting on that, Gorse. Let's go outside, leave him be.
I sure never seen the like of him.
He's not cut on any pattern I know either.
That leg's bad just overnight. It's real bad. He say who shot him before we did?
There's a long list of things he's not said. Time for talk will come later.
Well, that's a quart of whiskey, Captain.
It was a quart of whiskey, Gorse. Well, you ready for surgery?
You got a mind for it, sir?
I got a mind, but not much stomach for it. Now, let's get it over with, Gorse. The runner's still around, Mr. Sabots?
Yes, sir. He's having something to eat, Captain.
Well, when he's through that, see, he gets his rest.
He was asking about a fresh horse, sir.
He won't need one. There's no reply to this message. Time he's ready to move again, both him and his horse will be rested.
Do we have new orders, sir?
Major Daggett will be here tomorrow with a platoon from G Company. We're to wait for the rendezvous.
Major Daggett, sir. Well, the message says to keep Pete Hazen here till the major arrives.
Yes, and I'd do that if I'd laid an eye on Pete in a month.
I thought he was scouting up in the Bighorn country.
Last I heard, he was. Guess the major's counting on reports from that area. Maybe we'll be moving up that way.
Are they talking about Charlie, Captain?
We're not going to find out sitting in a tent, Mr. Sabots. That crazy fool. Sergeant!
Yes, sir. Well, it happened too quick, Captain. I couldn't stop him.
The man can't walk yet. How could it happen too quick?
First I saw him, he'd crawled most down to the creek. His horse was tethered down there with the others, and you saw the rest of it. He just propelled himself up on that horse. And from the offside, the right side.
Indians don't know any better, neither do their horses. They always mount on the right side.
You want me to go after him, Captain?
No need. He's coming back.
I swear, Captain, he's putting on a show for us.
Yeah, they ride all over a horse. On his neck, his sides, under his belly. Either of you feel like much of a horseman now?
With one bad leg.
You don't think he got hold of another jug of whiskey, sir?
I'll break the man who gave it to him if he did.
Captain, I guess he's played himself out.
Charlie, good rider, yes?
Charlie, stupid fool.
Leg very bad. White Captain, sorry, leg very bad.
Your leg's a sieve, but it's your leg. You can break it off and throw it away if you're of a mind.
Leg very bad, good friend. Bring Charlie whiskey.
I told you, Charlie, that's the last whiskey you'd get from me.
Charlie ride very good. Charlie show white man Indian trick.
No whiskey.
No whiskey. You... Other man, you have whiskey.
Not me, Charlie.
Yeah, and don't look at me with your sore leg. I'll give you nothing.
Poor Charlie, hurt very bad.
Slide off that pony. I want to talk to you.
Oh, leg so bad.
Get off. Oh. Mind his horse, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Seibert, see the camps made ready for Major Daggett's arrival.
Yes, sir.
You were kicking that bad leg around real free. Can you bear weight on it, as far as my tent?
Whiskey in tent?
You want two bad legs?
Charlie, walk.
Here, I'll help you. There now. Let me see that leg.
Charlie do bad thing to ride?
It should have killed you. But you're such a contrary cuss. It looks fine, Charlie. It's got no right to, but your leg looks fine.
Ooh.
Charlie, who shot you before we did?
White settler, he shoot 2-3 times.
Why?
Oh, Charlie try steal horses.
You ought to be shot for that. You ever lived on a reservation?
One time. Short time. Charlie not like reservation. Nothing can do. Charlie like steal horses.
You steal horses all alone, do you?
Sometime alone. Sometime with Cheyenne Brave. Charlie find horses. Tell others. They come, we steal.
That makes you a Cheyenne scout, then?
Charlie like steal horses. Also, hunt.
You're not Cheyenne, Charlie.
White Captain can tell Charlie not Cheyenne?
Well, you look more like a crow to me.
Yes, crow. Charlie Little Bear. All blood, crow. Sioux, Cheyenne, Arapaho, all drive crow people from land of father, from Bighorn. Charlie like Bighorn. Charlie lived there. Even with Cheyenne.
There's no Cheyenne reservation in the Bighorn?
No reservation. Just Cheyenne Brave and Charlie. Like steal horses. Hunt.
You like to kill white men?
Charlie not kill white man. Not ever kill white man. Charlie friend. Got name from white man.
What white man?
Many years, when Charlie live with own people, white man come for hunt, furs. Teach Charlie speak tongue of white man. Then he die. Charlie take name of friend.
Mm-hmm.
You let Charlie go back, Bighorn. Hunt. Steal horses.
If you stole horses, you broke the law.
You put Charlie reservation?
I might. Might put you in jail, too. I might do almost anything with you, Charlie. Except give you whiskey.
Now, the last word we had from Hazen, the Bighorn, was as peaceful as Sunday church. Now, all through these valleys here, settlers are complaining of increasing Indian raids.
For horses, Major?
For horses, until the last few days. Runners are reporting a band of marauding Cheyenne. Burning, massacring as they go.
Through here, you say? Long Stinking Water?
That's the Shoshone River, Captain.
The Indians call it Stinking Water.
Well, we're going there. Doesn't much matter what the Indians call it.
Might matter, Major.
How's that?
We can't wait for Pete Hazen. If there's a Cheyenne camp in the Bighorn, we'll need a scout to find it.
That's right.
Charlie Little Bear's an Indian. He can't pick a trail to the Shoshone River. But he'll sure know one to Stinking Water.
From what you said, this must be his band of Cheyenne who's responsible for the killing along the, Stinking Water. He's not about to lead you against his friends.
Charlie's a crow. I've never heard a crow boast about his scalps.
You're saying, then, that you trust Charlie?
I'm counting on him being a crow, that's all, Major.
Just look at that Charlie Little Bear, Captain. Smiling, riding easy. You think he was out on a happy hunting party.
I'm looking at him.
You call him a scout? I could have got us this far by myself.
You know where the Cheyenne camp is, Gorse?
No, sir.
Well, I don't either, but Charlie does. I'm hoping he'll lead us there.
Just because you fixed his leg, Captain?
Just because Charlie doesn't like killing, Sergeant. Charlie?
Yes, Captain.
You saw the last two ranches, Charlie. Fired, burned to the ground, stock runoff.
I saw no killing. No body of white man, like you said, Captain.
This is your country, though, Charlie. This is the work of your Cheyenne friends, isn't it?
Charlie see many Indian sign. Yeah, Cheyenne. But no killing.
There's another ranch ahead, Charlie. How's your leg holding up?
Oh, good. White Captain fix leg very good. Charlie not forget. Patrol! Halt!
Dismount. Search the premises.
Dismount.
Sergeant, report anything you can find to me. Anything.
Yes, sir.
Blood here, Captain. Dry blood marked the ground.
And a trail of it leads up to the cabin, or what's left of it, anyway.
And many pony. Cheyenne pony.
You been here before, Charlie?
Not here. Old man live here, not many horses. Charlie likes steal many horses.
Was that the old man? Or can you tell?
Hard to tell about old man. Too much head gone.
Well, we can't do much for him now, but bury him.
He was old man, like white friend who gave Charlie name. Charlie friend die in peace.
Captain Quince, out here, sir.
Find something, Gorse?
Yeah. This bundle of stuff on the far side of the cabin. It's a funny collection, Captain.
Yeah. Relics. Four arrows. This thing, Gorse, made of skin and buffalo hair.
Two arrow for hunting, two for war. This marking, the hat of skin and hair, this all sacred to Cheyenne.
There's a old man dead inside the cabin, Sergeant. All in a burial detail.
Yes, sir.
You take it.
You sing death song for old man, Captain?
We'll just bury him, Charlie. And hope he's found his peace.
This day is old. Sun dies, too.
And we'll be making camp soon.
Charlie not like killing. With tomorrow's sun, Charlie lead you to Cheyenne camp.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin as Charlie, Jack Moyles as Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell as Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. With the Far East as a backdrop, and with intrepid correspondent O'Hara right in the foreground, you're sure to have an exciting adventure every Monday night right here at the Star's address. If you like your mystery on the fast-moving side, be sure you're listening to CBS Radio each Monday evening when another thrill-packed episode of O'Hara comes your way on most of these same stations.
gods. That was Indian Scout, with an original air date of the 21st of October, 1956. You heard that, starring Raymond Burr. Fort Laramie only lasted one season, and then Raymond Burr jumped ship to television to become Perry Mason. Coming up next, I'm going to continue this double billing of westerns with a Gunsmoke. But first, let me go ahead and fulfill an FCC obligation. This is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org in Medford.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. Okay, coming up next here, I have Gunsmoke, the radio series also created by Norm Macdonald. Well, actually, he took the same crew pretty much, except for the musical director, to the Fort Laramie show. It's noted for its authenticity in terms of language, description, and a nice soundscape, as they call it. This is episode 304 of Gunsmoke. Its original air date was the 2nd of February, 1958. But Gunsmoke ran on the air from 1952 to 1961. There was some overlap with the television show because the television series ran from 1955 to 1975. And of course, William Conrad played Marshall Dillon on the radio and James Arness played Marshall Dillon on the television. And after this program, I'm going to jump to some music featuring a member of the television troupe, but we'll have more on that here when after episode 304, Kitty's Killing. Again, the original air date of this is the 2nd of February 1958. Thanks for listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM WMFO. Tufts Freeform Radio in Medford.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke, starring William Conrad. story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
About snowbiting.
Well, come on in. The door ain't locked.
Oh, forevermore. Like a body could open the door for theirself.
Good morning.
Oh.
Well,
come on in, mister.
I want to see the marshal.
Well, he ain't here just now. He rode out south of town a little piece. Something I can do for him, mister?
Are you a good man?
How's that?
They say the marshal's a good man. Are you good likewise?
No, I don't rightly know. I can tell you one thing, though. I expect I just do about best I can.
Can you open the lockup?
Well, of course I can, but I don't know what that's got to do with it.
I want you to unlock it.
Well, now, that just don't make sense. Ain't even nobody in there.
I want you to put somebody in it.
Oh, well, that's different. Where's he at? What's he done?
I want you to lock me up.
You? You wanted somewhere? You giving yourself up, are you?
My hands are clean.
Well, then what in the world?
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Well, of course. Mine. But I can't just go throwing somebody in jail without they've done something. There's probably a law in there.
There's the Lord's law.
Well, I know that, but what's that got to do with
it? Thou shalt not kill.
Yes, but you said yourself you ain't done nothing.
It's heavy upon me to kill a man. I want you to lock me up to stay my hand.
Look here now, mister. You don't have to kill nobody if you just set your mind to it. Leastways, locking you up won't do no good. What about when you come out?
It will be safe by tomorrow. You will have left town by tomorrow.
Well, now, I don't know that I can go around putting... Oh, Mr. Dillon, you sure are a sight for sore eyes.
Hello, Chester. What's the matter?
It's him, Mr. Dillon. He wants me to lock him up. He claims he feels like killing somebody.
Oh? Anybody in particular?
Well, he ain't said. I was just fixing to ask him.
Oh, never mind, Chester. See to my horse, will you? I'll take care of this.
Yes, sir.
What's your name? Are you the marshal?
I'm the marshal.
I'm called Jacob Leach, Marshal. I'm a God-fearing man.
What's this about locking you up?
It's upon me to kill a man, Marshal. I want to be locked up till morning so I'll not be tempted.
Oh, and who would tempt you?
Man of sin.
Does he have a name?
His name is Radford.
Radford?
Ollie Radford, a man of sin.
Well, what's he done? What have you got against him?
He lives with sin, Marshal. He shall be punished with everlasting destruction.
That's not exactly your job, is it?
I pray that I may not be the instrument of the Lord's destruction. I ask that you lock me up, Marshal, until Radford has left town tomorrow.
All right, Leach. I've had a hard ride, and I don't feel much like arguing with you about destruction. Yeah, I'll lock you up for the night. Come on over here. All right, go on.
You've acted wisely, Marshal.
Maybe. Well, let me tell you something. After you get out of here, you go right on leaving the destruction business to the Lord. Or to the law.
The sinner shall surely be put to death.
Yeah. Well, so shall the murderer. You might remember that.
Now, just listen a minute, if you will. I've got a little story to tell you. Well, it's not so little, it's sort of a tall tale. It's about a military hero. Well, at least a hero of the military. Kilroy's his name. That's about all the information there is about his vital statistics. But since the beginning of World War II, he's been in every theater of operation from Africa to Australia, from Kwajalein to Korea, and all points west, as the saying goes. And when they finally get to Mars, they'll probably find out that he's been there first, too. They all claim him as their own. The Army, the Navy, Air Force, even the Marines. So it's kind of hard to tell just what uniform he wears. But there's one thing for sure. Whatever his uniform might be, he's become a symbol of the courage and ingenuity of American men in uniform who have accomplished the impossible wherever it had to be accomplished. He was on Heartbreak Ridge and Guadalcanal. He was out in front with Jimmy Doolittle's squadron over Tokyo. He climbed Mount Casino, walked through Berchtesgaden, crawled through Anzio, and waded ashore at Iwo Jima. You name the place, and his mark is there. Kilroy was here. Paul Bunyan, Mike Fink, Pecos Bill, and all the rest of our legendary heroes have more or less confined their activities to the boundaries of our country. But Kilroy has been wherever our men in uniform have been, and what's more, he's usually been there first. Impossible? Well, you might easily think that. If you hadn't seen his signature on the wall in a prison camp, or inside a concrete bunker, painted on a blown-up enemy tank, or chalked on the top of a bleak, bomb-cratered hill in Korea, you might say impossible. But there are those who don't, and I'm not gonna argue with them because they're fellas who've been there. This is sort of their story I've been telling you, theirs and his. They're the ones who have made it sort of nice being citizens of our United States. Citizens with freedom to talk and laugh, and free to write and read and worship, too. Yes, sir. Maybe you don't think about it much, but you should.
Well, there's just no doubt about it. In my mind, Radford, it was the only thing to do.
Yes, I suppose so.
Oh, I know it was a hard move to make, but it was the only thing to do.
Whatever is right for her, Doc, I'm going to do it.
Well, you've done it, Radford. I expect living in one room at a boarding house is a little cramped after ranch living.
Oh, well, we've lived in one room before. Anyway, it won't be forever.
No, it will, I guess, about a month at the outs. Oh, morning, Matt. See, that's Marshal Matt.
Morning, Doc.
Yeah.
You're out early. You looking for business?
Oh, I've got so much business, I don't have time to look for it. Oh, Matt, this is Ollie Radford.
Marshal? Radford, huh? I haven't seen you around here before, have I?
No, Marshal, I don't get to town very often. I set up ranching out near Cimarron a few months back.
Oh? You got business in Dodge?
Well, no, Marshal. To tell the truth, I don't have no business in Dodge at all. But my wife has, don't she, Doc?
Yes, you see, I moved the Radfords into Ma Smalley's for a few weeks, Matt. Mrs. Radford's expecting. And she's not very strong. I just want to kind of keep an eye on her.
Well, they'll be here for a while, huh?
Oh, 3-4 weeks, I figure. Well, I'll see you two later. I've got to get on up to my office there.
All right, Doc.
Yeah, you tell Molly what I said, Radford.
I'll do that, Doc, and thanks.
So long, Doc.
Good night.
Radford, you know a fellow named Leach?
Jacob Leach?
Mm.
Where did you run into him?
Right here in Dodge. He says that he might have to kill you.
Marshal, that man's crazy.
Yeah, maybe so, but he sounds like he might really go after you. Has he got any reason for killing you?
4 years ago, back in Missouri, I was married to his sister.
Oh. Don't you go off and leave her or something?
No, Marshal. She died.
I see. Leach blamed you for it, huh?
He said I killed her. She died trying to have our baby. That's why I want Doc close by this time.
Doc's a good man with babies. Does Leach know that you're married again?
Well, if he's here in town talking about killing, he must have found out. Oh, he'd think it was a terrible sin, Marshal, me marrying again.
Yeah. Well, he thinks you're just in town to pick up supplies and they're heading back this morning.
just try to keep him thinking that way.
I'd be obliged, Marshal. I've never been afraid to meet a man in a fair fight, but this don't even make sense. You can't even reason with that man.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes it dangerous. You know, Radford, it might be a good idea if you'd stay off the streets for the next day or two, and I'll try to encourage Leach to go back where he came from.
Marshal.
Yeah?
I ain't a man to want to get into trouble, but I can't stay off the streets and hide it from him forever. There ain't no justice in that. I'll fight him if I have to.
Radford, I'll tell you just about what I told him.
What's that?
You let the law handle justice.
Well, that's quite a story, Matt. But I haven't seen anybody like Jacob Leach in here.
Well, he might not let himself come into a sinful place like a saloon, Kitty.
Some of them do, to preach.
Well, anyway, you send me word if he does come in here, will you?
Yeah, I sure will, Matt.
Just want to keep track of him if I can. He's a fanatic. You can't tell which way he's going to jump.
Did he say how long he'd be in town?
Well, he's going back to Missouri in 2 or 3 days. So if I can keep Radford out of his sight, I think we'll be all right.
Matt?
What?
Doesn't look like I'll have to send for you.
How's that?
Well, I think that's your man coming in the door right now.
What? Oh, yeah. Hello, Leach.
They told me you'd be here. This is a strange place to find a good man, Marshal.
What's on your mind?
I was thinking to tell you goodbye, Marshal. I have a call to leave this town of temptation.
Oh? That might be a good idea.
You set a sinful example, Marshal, frequenting this den of iniquity.
Why don't you let me worry about that, Leach?
With this woman, this brazen woman.
Now, just a minute.
All right, come on, Leach. I think it's about time you got out of here.
Mr. Dillon.
My word shall be heard.
Mr. Dillon, you know where Doc's at?
Not right now, Chester. Why?
Well, it's Ollie Radford's wife over at Moss.
Chester.
She
all
took
right.
sudden and she took
okay,
bad.
Okay, all right, Chester. I'll help you look for her. Come on. Kitty, you listen to what Leach has to say now.
Right.
Stand.
Sure, ma'am. Sure.
Did he say Ollie Radford?
I didn't hear him, Mr. Leach. Don't you want to go on with what you were saying?
Don't lie to me, woman. They all lie. They lie and they sin. But it's clear now.
Oh, Mr. Leach.
There's no other way. He is here. I must seek them out and kill them. I can no longer shirk my duty.
Them? Well, no.
I must kill Ollie Radford and the marshal. He is no better than the others. He lied to me. He protected a sinner.
Mr. Leach, do you want to help save a sinner?
Woman, it is my cross to bear to seek out sinners and save them. I must find my way to this Ma Smalley's. I must ask my way and seek them out.
Mr. Leach.
What?
How can I be saved?
Saved? I'm afraid it's too late for you, woman.
But if I helped you, if I helped you find him, if I showed you the way...
A Jezebel come to repent?
Why not?
Yes. Jacob Leach is indeed the instrument of the Lord.
Well, then let me take you there. You won't have to ask your way.
Yes, woman. You lead the way. Lead the way, and we will save the sinners.
Come on, then. We'll go out the back way and come up behind them. I sure want to help save those sinners.
Some of us think Connecticut is a suburb of New York City, but it isn't really. It just seems that way because so many people working in the city commute daily between their jobs and the grassy, country-like atmosphere of Stamford, Greenwich, or Larchmont. Those who don't commute preferring to work where they live, May 9 to 5 at the Electric Boat Division of General Dynamics in New London, selling insurance in Hartford or making clocks in Bristol. But regardless of where they work, both groups of people have a great deal in common. They don't share merely the nutmeg or constitution state, for the place of their residence is shared with others, such as P.T. Barnum, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Nathan Hale, Noah Webster. People in Connecticut today share the yearly excitement of the Yale-Harvard crew races, the beauty of the mountain laurel blossom in late spring, pride in their state's early Yankee peddlers, and more than anything, the true meaning of their state motto, "He who transplanted sustains."
I'm much obliged to you both for finding Doc and coming here to warn me.
It's all right, Radford. You just stay here and Doc will fix her up. We'll handle Leach.
Sure, Marshal. Good night.
Good night. Come on, Chester.
Miss Kitty sure moved right in and took over with old Leach, didn't she?
Kitty's a smart girl, Chester.
You got a plan about him, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I just hope I can sort of ease him out of town. You push that kind too hard, and they're likely to go wild on you. Then people get hurt.
I declare, I don't know why. I didn't have no more sense than to just blurt out Radford's name like I did.
Well, maybe he didn't hear you.
No, but what if he did?
We just have to hope that Kitty can handle it.
Hurry, woman. Time is running out.
I'm going as fast as I can, Mr. Leach. There's not much farther to go.
We've already come quite a way. Are you sure you know the house?
Oh, yeah, of course. Just down there. You see it? It's off the road to the left, over there.
Judgment approaches. The sinner shall be punished. We shall not fail.
I hope not.
I see no lights. Are you sure of where you're leading me?
Well, Moss Molly doesn't encourage callers this time of night. There'll be lights in the back room where Ollie is.
And the marshal. The marshal must be there, too.
I hope he'll be there, too, Mr. Leach. Just as much as you do.
Where do you reckon they went, Mr. Dillon?
Well, Sam says Kitty seemed to go with him of her own accord.
Well, why would she do that?
To keep him from following us. Well, one thing, sure, she's not leading him to Ma Smalley's.
Yeah, but if we don't know where she went, how are we going to find her?
I don't know.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
This Leach, would he kill Miss Kitty?
Yeah, Chester, I think he would.
Isn't this the house you pointed out?
Well, yeah, it is, Mr. Leach. I just thought we might wait for some sign that they're in there.
Why do you doubt it all of a sudden? You promised me you'd lead me to the sinners.
Oh, I've led you to them, all right, Mr. Leach. It's just...
We'll go in.
Well,
come. You go up the steps with me. Open the door.
Yeah.
Isn't it strange that there are no lights?
No, Mr. Leach. Ma'll bring a light in it. She doesn't believe in waste. She believes wastefulness is a sin.
A small sin. There are many others of greater importance. I'm going to strike a light. It's empty. This is no rooming house. This place is deserted. Woman, you have led me astray.
I must have been mistaken.
It was no mistake. You are indeed a Jezebel. Now I must punish you, too. Stand still.
The light went out.
I need no light to see you to carry out your punishment.
You lay a hand on me. Scratch your eyes out.
Woman of sin, you're going to die.
Not likely, mister. Now, you keep away from me. You don't want to get blown in half.
You took my gun.
I sure did, mister. You come near me, I'll shoot you, sure.
You woman without shame. You shall not escape. No gun will protect you.
You keep back. I warn you. Keep back.
You cannot escape me.
I shot him.
Kitty, you all right?
I'm all right. I shot a man.
He's dead, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, Matt. Oh, Matt.
Now, Kitty.
It's an awful thing to kill a man.
Yes, it is, Kitty. Even when a man's nothing but a killer, it's always bad.
And directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Episode 304 of Gunsmoke, Kitty's Killing. Original air date, the 2nd of February, 1958. Gunsmoke ran on the radio from 1952 to 1961, and it overlapped the TV show by 3 years, with the TV show coming in 1955, and that ran for 20 years to 1975. At one point, it was the longest running TV show of all time, I believe. Some people have mixed emotions about William Conrad or James Arness, but I forget when on the TV series Festus Hagen came into play, starring Ken Curtis as Festus, Marshall's sidekick there. A lot of people don't realize he was an accomplished singer, not just some local, the yokel dolt. So without going much further, I'm going to play a couple of tracks from some sort of German compilation I got about Ken Curtis. I'll try and highlight his range as a singer, He also sang, what was the name of that band? I'm drawing a blank now. I think of it all the time. Well, anyway, this is Ken Curtis. I hope you enjoyed the show today. This is Arthur on the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM, WMFO and or WMFO.org here in Medford. Sons of the Pioneers. That's who Festus was lead singer for. Or not Festus, but Ken Curtis. I'm going to sign off. I'm going to leave you out with a little bit of Ken Curtis here. Thanks.
Discouraging word, and the sky.